Certainly a big story locally. Danny O'Brien transferring out. Started quarterback at Maryland kind of last year. Split the duty with C.J. Brown.
He beat Miami.
Beat Miami.
He had 300 yards passing.
Miami had no one. They had no one. No players that game.
Maryland with two, had two wins.
I know.
You don't take away from that a win.
They almost lost to Towson.
Did Miami have more than two wins?
What did Miami? Yeah,
they had more than, so that was a big win for Maryland.
Yeah, but it was. Yeah. They didn't have anybody. Let's bring in Kevin Cowher from the Baltimore Sun, who joins us every Tuesday at 7:20. Good morning, Kevin. We'll start with the Danny O'Brien story and what's it say about Maryland football. They're up to 25 players now that have essentially defected since Randy Edsall took over.
Yeah, and this one's a bad one, guys. You know, I think Danny O'Brien, you know, he was discouraged last year. You know, he didn't like the offense last year. This is a guy who's who you don't want to see really in a spread offense. This isn't a guy who's really fleet enough or nimble enough to hand off the ball and hold on to the ball and hand it off. So he was a fish out of water in that offense last year. He never complained, guys. You know, you got the sense after some games that he was discouraged, but he never verbally, he never complained on the record. But I don't think this is a tremendous surprise. I mean, it's not good for the program, let's face it, and it leaves him thin at quarterback. And, you know, C.J. Brown is going to be the guy, but it's not good for Maryland. It's another blow for the program, no question about it.
I agree with you about that, Kevin, but I don't think it's as big of a loss because of – I don't think he would have played here anyway, Danny. I don't think he would have really gotten enough playing time to be relevant. So while it's a loss in name and what the kid
could have
done –
You don't think he was going to be the starter next year with C.J. Brown?
Absolutely don't. I don't think so. And I think I go back to what Kevin just said. I don't think he could adapt to this offense.
Yeah, but they're changing the offense around now. It's going to be more of a pro-style offense with Locksley.
That's what they're telling us. But I think there was enough – there was so much done that – No, I don't think he would have been a starting quarterback. I mean, you could disagree, Kevin, but I don't. I think if he had known he was going to be a starting quarterback and he felt he was going to, it's easier to stay at a school which you were ACC Rookie of the Year than to uproot yourself and go someplace else. I think there was enough uncertainty there for him.
The only thing I'd say, Rob, is I think it was going to be an open competition between the two guys, but you know, it was clear. I just think that even in the off season, it was clear that Danny O'Brien's heart was not you know, as Randy Edsall said in his statement, Danny O'Brien was not all in with this offense. So I think it's a good move for him and probably in the long run a good move for the program. You want a guy who's totally committed, who's excited about playing in the offense that the team has. So if he wasn't, it's time for him to move on.
Hey, I don't think he could get over what a lot of people couldn't get over, which is why he lost his job so quickly. And I'm certain in his mind he's thinking ACC Freshman of the Year, and this is what you did to me. You benched me, what I think a lot of people felt like was prematurely. So I think for him he's looking and saying, how can I trust this coach staff who changed the offense on me? And I think probably for him, it's a fair point. We're talking with Kevin Cowher from the Baltimore Sun here on the Alpaca Ford Hotline. Kevin, you wrote a column in the paper yesterday about the Orioles and how nonplussed you are about all their offseason moves.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody is that excited. You know, I'm struck by the difference in the demeanor of Oriole fans this year to last year, guys. You know, last year they had come off that second, you know, in the last offseason they had come off that nice surge under Buck Showalter in his first year. There was excitement about this team. Even at FanFest 2 years ago, there was just a lot of buzz about this team. This year, I'm just not sensing any of that. I don't think they did enough, in my opinion, in the offseason to upgrade this team significantly. I see what Dan Duquette is doing. He's going for deep depth. He's doing this whole money ball thing where he's trying to find these undervalued guys, particularly pitchers, trying to plug them in. But I just don't see an upgrade at the key positions. And I think, as I wrote in the column, guys, I just see question marks up and down this roster. I mean, and particularly the starting lineup. So, you know, I'm not optimistic about the season. And, you know, I think we're looking at fifth place again. I hate to say it. I'm a baseball fan,
yeah,
but I think it's gonna be another tough year for them.
Hey, Kevin, yesterday Steve put out a great point about Duquette, and I hate admitting that Steve had a great point, but he said that there have been some things about Duquette in the offseason that suggest that, yeah, he's been out of baseball too long and he's not connected with some of the rules and some of the players and the Oriole history. Do you think the guy's kind of disconnected to the way baseball is being run now as opposed to 10 years ago?
Well, the points I made are the fact that they had to apologize for getting this 17-year-old South Korean because apparently they didn't know the rule.
And also going after Manny Ramirez with the cloud of steroid use or performance-enhancing drug use that this team had once upon a time. You know, do you think he's connected to what's going on around baseball today?
Well, you know what, Rob? I don't see it as rocket science. I think it's been a hurry up study process for Dan Duquette. He's had to get back into the game. No, I don't see that. You know, the South Korean, the breach of protocol in signing the young South Korean pitcher, I don't see that as a big deal. I think that could have happened almost to any general manager. You know, I just think the guy is going to – he's still finding his way. You know, he's the Manny Ramirez thing. I think it was just merely a flirtation more than anything else. But, guys, why do you flirt with a Manny Ramirez when you're – a fifth-place team that needs so much help at so many other positions? You don't even float. You don't even go with that notion. You don't float that out there. You don't want your name and the franchise's name linked with Manny Ramirez when you got so many other things going on. Yeah, I think that was probably a misstep. But again, I think it was more of a flirtation with the guy. I don't think they were ever serious about signing him. And I think you're just going to see a general manager who's getting back in the game. He's got to study hard and he's got to catch up. That's it.
Randy Moss said yesterday that he wants to come back and play football next year. 35 years old. Terrell Owens says, hey, I could have helped the Ravens. It doesn't look like it's going to be a banner crop of free agents if DeSean Jackson's franchised, Dwayne Bowe is franchised, Marcus Colston, maybe in New Orleans, depending upon what happens with Drew Brees. Is there any way at all, if you're the Ravens, and I have to believe they wouldn't entertain T.O. because they've been down that road before, that you entertain, if your choices are Lee Evans and Randy Moss, do you entertain Randy Moss?
You know, look, if you're asking me and not Ozzie Newsome, I say no, okay? Randy Moss is out of football for a whole year. The previous year in 2010, the guy is bouncing around to three different teams. You know, Randy Moss is one of the greatest wide receivers I've ever seen, guys. I mean, this guy is just, he was all planet, no question about it. But are you going to take a chance on a guy like that at this stage in his career? I don't see it. To me, he doesn't seem like a Ravens-type player. As far as Terrell Owens goes, I cannot believe Ozzie Newsome would even look in that direction right now.
Yeah, don't go down that road, to be honest with you. But, you know, I mean, that Reggie Wayne's out there.
Jackson,
he's
maybe
saying that the Colts have not called him the last I checked. I mean, his former head coach is here. I think some other moves will have to be made. Is it a possibility that the Ravens could explore some free agent wide receivers, or are they going to stand pat with what they have on the roster already?
Well, as you said, no, though.
They can't stand pat, guys. I mean, there's no way.
Well, as he already said that. He's kind of hooked himself to that position by what he said at the press conference where he said, we're going to get better at wide receiver. It's number two on the priority list after O-line.
Well, you know, I think it should be. I mean, there's no way they can stand pat. They didn't get anything out of Lee Evans this year. I mean, you can't go that way. Torrey Smith is still – look, he had a terrific rookie year. But, you know, you don't know how much he's going to progress in year two. No, you got to go out and get somebody. And I think, as Steve just said, I mean, Ozzie Newsome is open to that. It is definitely going to be a priority. And, hey, there's nothing wrong with signing a good quality free agent. I think there will be some of these second-tier guys out there that are affordable and that the Ravens might be interested in. But there's no way they can stand pat at that position.
This is the third straight year they kind of – redid the wide receiver core. I mean, you got to at some point wonder when are they going to get it right. You think about last year, the veterans that they added this year, they got rid of some veterans and added some young guys. So is this a position that people should be concerned about, the fact that they can't get it right at the wide receiver
position?
It's been
very hard. Mark Clayton, they couldn't get it right. Travis Taylor, they couldn't get it right. This has been a position
struggled. The only player they got it right with was Derek Mason, but, you know, he got too old. I don't think it was premature that they got rid of Mason, but it seems like they just have not been able to get that position right, Kevin.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's been a struggle. Look, you can say that during the Brian Billick era, it was quarterback they never got right. But, you know, now it's wide receiver. They just seem to sign the wrong guys, or they sign guys with a lot of upside and they just don't produce. So yeah, absolutely, it's a concern. But there's no way they stand pat, guys. Got to do something to upgrade that position.
Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition is out today. Kevin Coward, your favorite all-time swimsuit model is
Christie Brinkley. I'm old school, guys.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm Kathy Ireland. What about you, Rob?
I'll go with, I don't know if I have one. I like them all, except for when they're 19. I don't want a 19-year-old sweet. When I was 19, I don't think I like 19-year-olds.
See, Rob's going,
at 40.
Rob's going through this conflicted stage where he's like, she's young enough to be my daughter. Look at Kevin. Kate Upton's young enough to be his granddaughter.
Absolutely. Great granddaughter, guys.
Yeah, I don't want to look at her.
Well, you,
for long?
I was going to say, for a guy who didn't want to look at her, you certainly had screen lock on SI.com for quite a while.
You know, I'm kind of offended that they have a 19-year-old. I'm going to log back on and make sure I'm offended by it.
All I know is this, is Rob was on for so long that he said, I think they airbrushed her armpit. That's how long the guy was on.
Too much scrutiny, guys.
Is it exploiting women, Kevin? Remember the argument? At some point, you must have done a column on that 15, 20 years ago. I don't think they talk about it now the way they used to.
No, you know, and of course, they're going to tell you they celebrate women. I mean, that's the whole point of this thing. Look, is it done for voyeuristic purposes? Is it done to attract eyeballs? Of course. I mean, you know, you can look at it any way you want. I mean, but again, they're going to tell you they're celebrating women, but there's a whole lot of people, especially a whole lot of moms and dads of young kids who get Sports Illustrated who don't see it that way and cringe every time the swimsuit edition comes out.
Let the celebration continue. Thank you, Kevin.
All right, guys.
Appreciate it. Kevin Cowher from the Baltimore Sun. You can read him in the Baltimore Sun, baltimoresun.com.